arm to hurl a spear at the group, his axe cracking into the beast's chest and throwing it backward. No sooner had he pulled the axe free than Brunner charged along, cutting back in front of the boulder. He threw his shield up high as he skidded down to his knees, sweeping out an orc's legs, at the same time the beast's mace thumped hard against the blocking buckler. The dwarf was to his feet in a heartbeat, leaping along to the next two in line, shield-rushing, skidding short and sweeping across with his bloody axe. He didn't wound either, though he managed to rip the sword from one's grasp and cut the other's spear short by a third. He did not relent. He would not surrender his rage and ferocity, butting and swinging, shield-charging and screaming with every step. The overwhelmed orc scrambled back, turning right into their reinforcements and slowing the orc charge. Into that confusion went Brunner, wildly chopping and punching, shield-butting, and even biting when one opportunity presented itself. He got hit hard by a club, a resounding thud that nearly knocked his helmet from his head. Things didn't sort out clearly for him at that moment, and for many afterward, but it didn't matter. He wasn't worried about precision or about tactics, even. He was just mad. Mad at Mialiki for tempting him, for making him start anew. Mad at Moritin for allowing it. Mad at Catti Brienne Drizzt, and mostly at himself, for not having the sense to step into Uruladun's pond beside Wolfgar, to go to Dwarfholm and his just reward. And now the uselessness of it all, the thought that he had wasted a decade and a half only to be cut down on a cold mountain trail in defense of a clan that wasn't his own, for the honor of a name that wasn't his own, and to the ultimate futility of his mission to help Drizzt. It was too much, too much. He felt the punches, or were they stabs of orc spears, and he ignored them and charged on, roaring, denying. He felt his axe dig into flesh and crack through bone. He heard the varied screams of his enemies, of rage, of pain, and sweetest of all, of fear. He managed to glance back only once and hardly registered the scene, though it seemed as if the three were hard at work with Tannebreeches, attempting to ferry her away, he hoped. No longer did it even matter. He shield-rushed the next two orcs in line, and down they went, all three, in a tangled ball. Even as he tasted dirt, Brunner kept chopping, cutting the spine of one. He somehow got the edge of his shield on the throat of the other and pressed down, using the orc's neck as support to allow him to stand once more. And then he was free, standing alone, and he hopped all around. Orcs fled in every direction, some, to Brunner's anger, past him. But when he glanced back, he took comfort in the fact that Magnus N. Mandarina had Tannebreeches up in a stretcher, and mighty Ognon was ready for the incoming enemies, and with capable ragged Dane huffing and puffing to join him. Brunner turned back, just in time to dodge a huge stone flying his way. And there before him stood the giant, an enormous behemoth. Not a hill giant, as one might expect with orcs, but bigger, far bigger indeed. "Run away!" he heard Ognon yell to him, and that, of course, was the only answer in the face of such an enemy. The only answer for a 15-year-old Reginald, perhaps, but not for Brunner Battlehammer, King of Mithril Hall. He charged. The mountain giant stood more than thrice his height and outweighed him 10 to 1 or more, but he charged, roaring, demanding the giant's attention as it moved to hurl another boulder. With a stupid look and a grunt of, "Huh?" the giant flung the rock at the oncoming, nearly beardless young dwarf. It hit the ground a few feet in front of Brunner and skipped up at him and nearly clipped him as he dived to the ground. By the time the boulder bounced against the hard ground again, Brunner was already up and running. He thought to charge straight into the behemoth, to rush around its tree-like legs and whack at its knees with his axe. He changed his mind when the giant reached back and pulled forth its club, an uprooted tree as thick across as Brunner's waist. To the left veered the dwarf, formulating another plan, for the trail rose up here, moving behind a wall of stone. He got under that cover just in time, the tree club slamming down just behind him and shaking the ground so forcefully that he almost lost his balance. Cursing with every step, telling himself to just run away out of spite into the nine hells with them all, Brunner kept his young legs pumping. The curses were real, as was the rage, but he would not abandon his fellow dwarves. Part of him wanted to, just to spite Moradin, but it simply was not the way of Brunner Battlehammer. He ran on, rounding a bend and climbing higher. An orc leaped out before him, startling him. He threw his shield across desperately, but didn't deflect the weapon quite enough, and felt the bite of the spear tip in his belly, trading that severe hit with a downward chop of his axe that crushed the orc's skull. The creature fell away, and Brunner stumbled forward, and that action only drove the spear in deeper. With a trembling hand, the dwarf reached down and grabbed the shaft, thinking to pull it out. As soon as he started to tug, though, he changed his mind. The head was barbed, and surely his entrails would spill forth with it. "So now ye killed me to death in battle, did ye, Moradin?" he said, sliding down to one knee and trying hard to hold his balance there. "Bah! But ain't that a fitting end for your games? Ye couldn't even let the giant do it. It had to be an orc." The dwarf, grimacing and trying to stop the world from spinning, considered those words for a few heartbeats. An orc. Probably an orc from many arrows. An orc living around this region because of a decision Brunner had made a century before. Another orc appeared on the trail ahead. Spotting the wounded dwarf, it let out a whoop of delight and charged at the kneeling dwarf with a spear deep in his gut. A huge rock crashed along the trail just behind them as they turned a bend, reminding the dwarves of the behemoth at their backs. But so too did they find trouble before them, as more orcs gathered along the trail ahead.
"By the gods, but we'll be fighting either way then," said Ragged Dane, "and fewer behind us."
"But bigger behind us," Magnus reminded.
"Aye, and better to die fighting a giant than a stinking orc,"
Ognan Leatherbelt cried, and he wheeled around, patted his old friend Ragged Dane on the shoulder and said,
"Let's take out its knees, then, and leave it limping for air."
Ragged Dane grinned as only a dwarf who knew he was about to die in battle might. He was first back around the bend. The giant saw him and surely heard his cry and those of Ognan beside him. The giant had just come forth from its place before the rocky peak, massive club in hand, but when it saw the dwarves, it gave a chuckle that sounded like an avalanche and turned around to retrieve another boulder. And there on the ledge it saw, and Ragged Dane and Ognan saw, a most curious sight. The spear came out with a tug of angry denial, and Brunner had it swiveled around and planted just as the orc leaped upon him, or almost upon him, as it skewered itself on the bloody spear. A wild shove of the dwarf's shield had the flailing orc tumbling off to the side. Brunner paid it no more heed, the forearm of his axe hand tight against his spilling guts. The dwarf growled through the blinding pain and charged up the path, spitting blood with every curse. The trail climbed up and wound around to the right, then broke into three branches, including a straight path back in the direction where Brunner had left his friends. And at the end of that straight path, across a small ledge, Brunner saw the back of the mountain giant's head. All sense of